I can't understand, you know, I say this so often, being a Christian, I can't understand how that anybody would want to do anything but serve Jesus anyway. When I think about the joy and jubilance, the security, the feelings of comforts and peace in serving Christ Jesus, I can't understand how anybody could know about him and not want to serve him. As a matter of fact, you can't know about him and not want to serve him. You can know about him to the extent that you might have heard an intellectual expression as to the way it struck your ears, and you might have heard about Jesus, you know, kind of like a fairy tale, or you know, there's a Bible and those kind of things. But to come to know him and God to know you, it's not possible for you to do that and not serve God. That's why it is said in the day of judgment when they said, "Lord, we prophesied and we said many wonderful things in your name, and we did many things in your name. And Lord, you stood in our streets." But he said, "Depart from me that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you." And they spoke of knowing him, but Jesus said, "You've never known my Father. You've never met my Father." Said, "You've never heard his voice, or you've never seen his shape at any time." And it is a true fact that though they saw the natural form of Jesus and they heard an expression from Jesus, but the Bible said having ears to hear, they could not hear the voice of God. And having eyes to see, they could not see beyond the fleshly image as Peter, to know him as the Christ, as the living, eternal, resurrected one. "But I know him." Jesus said, "You don't know him, but I know him. And you that love God, you know him. And you that love God, you have seen him." The Bible teaches that no man can see God and live. No man can see God and live. So, very obvious that you that are alive in the flesh, you've never seen God. If you'd have seen him, that would be the proof that you were not alive in the flesh. There are those that live. They are alive in the flesh. But anyway, you that are alive in the flesh, you can't know him, you can't see him. The Bible said if you're in the flesh, you can't please him. And you are alive to this extent. The Bible says that they that live in the flesh cannot please him, and they that are alive to the things of the world, the Bible teaches that thus people are lost, that they are condemned, and that this thing is hid from them. The Bible said, if this be hid, it be hid from them that are lost, them whose eyes Satan hath blinded, in that they cannot see when good cometh. Even the eyes of their understanding hath been blinded. So, that means that you that live in trespasses and sin, though you live, ye that live in trespasses and sin, though you live, yet you're dead while you live. You are dead while you live, and some twice dead and plucked up by the root. When you say twice dead, that means that God has cut you off. So far as a root, the Bible said, had God not left us a root, we would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. But in that God loved us, he left us the root, even the root and the offspring of David, the Lord Jesus. We are not plucked up by the root. We are dead to the flesh. We are buried with him in baptism. We are they that dwell in heaven. As to our inner man, we are sealed where we cannot sin, and Satan can never touch us. Never touch us. Satan has never at any time touched a son of God. Never at any time. And he never will. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I was saved. I was out in my sins. And Satan had most assuredly touched me." Satan has never touched a son of God. Never has or never will. It would be impossible for a woman to stand and say that I have never been defiled as to the virtues of life if someone had mistreated her or took advantage of her. Never in the history of mankind, nor as for the world ever was, has Satan ever touched the bride of Christ. Never. The Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. Therefore, in that it was given to us before the world ever was, then that means that we were sealed. And the Bible said at Calvary, at the rent veil, it was made known unto us. It was brought to light in that God is understanding. He brought it forth. When the veil of the intellectual covering of death was taken away, then the brightness of his Shekinah image has shone forth, and so we are in him. Before the world, we are his Shekinah image that has never been touched. Satan cannot even get near the light, in that darkness and light hath no fellowship. For Satan to even approach the light, in that he's darkness, he would completely be eradicated and go, as we say, into oblivion, as to human terminology. So it's not possible. In that we're children of light, it's not possible for Satan to get close to us as the child of light. This body not being changed as we wait for the redemption of the body, not as to the redemption of the body, but the change of the body, in that it has been redeemed at Calvary. It is called the purchased possession. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In that we're doing that, Satan seems to have, as the world says, a field day in harassing the minds of the children of God with threats. But with all of his harassment, all of its lying vanities, he is a liar and the father of a liar. All that he says is a liar. And he hath never touched a child of God yet, and he never will. So that gives us a strong consolation. Somebody says, well, I feel so dirty. Well, all you've got to do is get born again and you'll be all right. Oh, somebody says, but I'm born again and I still feel dirty. No, you're not born again and feel dirty. Born again people don't feel dirty. They have battles, they have conflicts, because they have to draw nigh to God to resist the devil, that the devil might get on the run. You've got all power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And inasmuch as he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the dirty one toucheth him not, he's not dirty. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. No, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, which means he hath never touched me. God is coming back after a touch me not. He's coming back after, you know, they got in the world what they call a touch me not. You touch it and it's gone like that. When Jesus arose from the grave, and when the woman just wanted to put her hands on him, he said, touch me not. Don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. I've got to go to my Father, so Brother Pike will be completely without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish throughout eternity. And that's where he went to. And that's where he took me. If I go, I'll come again to receive you unto my own, that where I am, there you might be also. He ate with them at the Last Supper. He drank with them at the Last Supper. He said, now I won't do this again till I drink anew with you in the kingdom of God. And so then when he went away, he died, he rose from the grave, he ascended, he went away, and in 10 days, he came back. And on the day of Pentecost, he drank it anew with them in the kingdom of God, in that the law and the prophets went till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men pressed their way into the kingdom. And we, having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, we now have the kingdom of God within us, for the Bible said the kingdom of God is within you. It comes not by observation, but it's within you. You comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of the mind of Christ, or the Spirit of Christ, which is God within you, the hope of glory. That is the fullness of God, even the fullness of his kingdom. And in that Christ is within you, the hope of glory, we've been drinking this wine together. He said, I will come in and I will sup with you if you'll open the door. And I opened the door, so he came in. And Solomon is described as being in the darkness of the night with the dew drops in the locks. The dew in his locks, and he's knocking on the door because he's been pushed out into the outer darkness. having been made sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Or that is, he that is light veiled himself, the Bible said, and God veiled himself in darkness, as to a human form to show the veil of death as was over Moses' face, as to the children of Israel, the law of sin and death, that veil having been taken away and having been rent. As to the bride, or as to Rebecca, as we preach, going into the secret chambers, the human veil of that which is not the covering of God, in that he said, you cover with a covering, but not of me. The human veil of the bastard child image of that old thing as a derivative from the tree of knowledge having been taken away. And as the sunshine eradicates the icy flakes of the snow to bring the undergrowth, so has God done away with the brightness of his coming in our lives, the image of perversion and perdition. The man of perdition sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is a God. Someday God will completely eradicate him with the brightness of his coming, as after the millennium, when the earth passes away, the heavens passes away, the sea passes away, and all of those things. But in our life and heart, the evil one is gone. Our body is now in the foreknowledge of God, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And that which was as to a perverted image, we're dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus. And the world is dead to me, and I have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible said, as many as have been baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, or that is, we are baptized into the great body of Christ by one Spirit, even the great Holy Spirit, in that a man's spirit, if it came into you, then that's who you would be. Jesus said that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, so I tell you that Elias has come already. So when Jesus' spirit came into me, then as it was said to Peter, who do men say that I am? And in that it is a many-membered body and one life as to one spirit, even the life of Christ, we are now his life, we are now his bone, we are now his spirit, we are now his image. And though we be many members, we ordained to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, then collectively speaking today, we're the church, we're his body, and he, the Lord Jesus Christ, even the word of revealed understanding as to the revelation of his great quickening spirit, he is the head. And someday that human body will appear to those human Jews, just as this great spirit, angelic Christ, has appeared to the great spiritual Jew as to the angelic forces of the earth that's called the church, or that is the church. So will he break the heavens as to the natural. Then, as I said, the redemption of the body, as to the bar mitzvah, as to what we call the change. That is, we are going to be changed as from the natural to the celestial. And that at what we refer to as the adoption of children. I know some of you don't understand that. That's why before we preach, a lot of times I just try to say a few little things here as to a foreword. And that is to let you know that we belong to him. Someone would say, Brother Pike, what does this mean, or to what advantage is this to me? Well, this is what it means, and then this is as to the advantage. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And the Bible said, it shall not be the minister speaking, but it shall be God speaking to you. They all shall be taught of God as it is written. And the advantage is that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And these words that are spoken are spirit. They are life. They are an intellectual sound that strikes an intellectual ear. And it is a vibration, from vocal organs that strikes the vibrance of your ear as to the nerves, as to the human senses. And it is a vibration from the vocal cords of utterance as to the human being, as to the person of them that's speaking, to your listening ear as a vibrance or vibration that you record. And that's all that it is. That is, to the bastard child, that's all that it is. And whether one sings beautifully, whether one speaks beautifully, whatever it is, it's only the vibrance of the disturbance of the atomic particles that's in the air. That's all. It's just the vibrations as to sound moving through the air. But to them that are elect, it is not a vibration. It is an invisible force. It is a God voice from a God person, from a God source that penetrates into the heart of God people. And it is the angelic form of Almighty God within the temple, speaking from within the tabernacle to those that tabernacle in the human body. And this voice, this spirit, this word, this life coming into your heart, striking your angelic being, translates the life of this word in that it is spirit and life. It translates your angelic being from the fallen one to that one that dwells in heaven. And the transitional changes of that through this expressed pilgrimage as to the transformating of your mind. You are coming from one world out of the land of garlic and onions, that is the land of Egypt, into the land of Canaan. And you're coming over that dense, dark wilderness of intellectual frustration, crossing the Jordan of your carnal mind, in that the Bible speaks of being carnally minded. This is death. But to be spiritually minded is the transformating light of life and peace into another world. Your angelic being going through these changes, it's like I said to somebody just recently, we are now, right at this time, we are in the changing era. And we're fixing to come out. The church is coming out now. And we'll express a little concern that this morning, but the church is coming out now. And they've been going through these dark, dense places of oppression. Never in the history of mankind, never before, never has mankind been so suppressed in his spirit and in his mind. Not only with the financial difficulties of life, but all kind of things, as to physical, as to natural, as to angelic pressures of fallen angels, that is spiritual things. He's going through it, and everything that can be shaken is now being shaken. Everything, preachers are being shaken, laity, they're being shaken. Homes, wives, daughters, son, everything is being shaken now. Because as it was with Moses, when Moses stood upon the mountain, Paul refers back to it, and the writer says that in that day God said, I have shaken the earth, but I again shake not only the earth, but this time I shake heaven. I'll shake heaven and earth and all that can be shaken. Paul said, as to the wandering stars, those that are wandering stars, that are reflectors, religious lights, people who are reflecting life from the true body of Christ, they are but wandering around in those spheres and in those places that are heavenly, in that Lucifer is found within that great height of heavenly places in Revelation 12. He's seen there in the battle of the heavenlies, as with Michael and Lucifer, we comprehended in the preaching and the teaching of the word. Lucifer thus is cast out, and all of his following is cast out, and a third part of the heaven is cast out. As to the wandering stars, scientists speaking of those things, as to planetary bodies being nickel and rock reflectors, the writer, catching a revelation, said, and for these stars, the mist of darkness is there. It's reserved forever for those wandering stars, the raging waves of the sea that's foaming out their shame, ever casting their mire up upon the shore. So we can see by this that a shaking is taking place, and now God is shaking the heavens. He only shook the earth, and in the shaking of the earth in that day, the earth opened up and swallowed up thousands of people in rebellion. So then, as dust to dust it was, and it was as to the earth. But when Joshua crossed over, Joshua commanded the sun to stand still over in Gibeon, and he commanded the moon to stand still over in the valley of Ajalon. He commanded the heavenly bodies in the crossing of the Jordan, going into the mind of Christ, as quick as the child is caught up to the throne, he rules with a rod of iron. He controls not only in the earthly perspective, but in the heavenly perspective, in that the Bible said, heaven is my throne. He is caught up into the heavenlies. You've been translated into the great mind of God. You have been translated into the kingdom of God. You are now in the heavenlies. You are now in heaven with Christ, which means you are ruling with a rod of iron. You have the power of the rod of iron. You've overcome. You're eating of the hidden manners to the revelation. In that the Bible said, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. And as Jesus said, I have food to eat that ye know not of, when they were disturbed about him. Never having eaten the natural food, or not having eaten at that time. So I said that to say this, ruling in heaven, earth is my footstool, heaven is my throne. We overcome, the Bible said, and we sit down in the throne with God, even the heavens. And we rule with a rod of iron, for he said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. He said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And he said, power over the nations to break them as a man would break pottery. The potter over the clay. So he says, I give you this power that nothing shall by any means hurt you, and that ye should have the desire of your heart. For my blessing maketh rich, even eternally rich, with eternal securities. And my blessing addeth no sorrow. So he said, being caught up to the throne, the child rules with a rod of iron. I know, you know, the church world, they're waiting for some great transitional quickening and a change. And then they will say, I am in heaven. That is their thoughts. I am in heaven. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. If you believe that's fine, you know. Until you can learn better, that's fine. Just go right along. The babe has the nipple in its mouth, and you can't take it away until it's old enough to where it can feed. But it's not like that at all. Even though there will be a quickening, there will be a change just from mortal to immortality. Yet, the things of God are heavenly. They are spiritual. They are comprehended. They are not seen by the natural eye. And the kingdom of God doth not come. It never has come. It does not come. It never will come by observation. There is no such thing as the kingdom of God by observation. People are just babes in Christ that look for that. They're just little toddling babes. They don't know any better. That's all they understand. But God is a spirit, and they that worship God cannot worship him through carnal ordinances as to ritualistics and coming to church and those kind of things. There's no way that you can do that. Even though we come to church, we do not come to church as that being the ordinance or worship of God. That is an ordinance as to natural ordinances. We come to church that we might come together and that we might hear the word of the Lord. Not as to an oral expression of a human being, but that as letting the churches hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, that is to them that has spiritual ears to hear. And to see the glorious things of God, in that Jesus said, spiritually speaking, I do always the things that I see my Father, that is, that I see the Spirit do. Walking in the Spirit, for the Bible said, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust, that is, the desire. As to the original rendering, the desire of the flesh, that we're not to make provisions for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. So being in the flesh, you cannot please God, but it is so that we are not in the flesh, for we are in the Spirit. For we have passed from death unto life, and death is in the flesh. All human beings die. All human beings die. There's no way to live as a human being. You cannot see God and live. So one day we're all going to stand before God, being transformated by our minds, translated by our spirits, and the ultimatum as to the change, transfigurated by our body. We're going to be in that heavenly world. So we that have passed from death unto life as angelic beings, the flesh profiteth nothing. We know that. That is to us, it profiteth nothing. We are in heaven. We're those that dwell in heaven. And the church world waits for this great thing to take place. And of course, they say, and someday God is going to come back in the heavens and he's going to break the heavens. And when he comes back in the heavens, you know, we're going to become eternal. We're going to become celestial and we're going into heaven with God. That is true. That is true. That is what the Bible teaches. That is the word. The Bible said, console the people with these words, teaching, telling them of the chains. But folks, we're not they that dwell in the flesh. We're not waiting for a change. We are not they that dwell in the flesh. We are they that dwell in heaven. When the child was born, it was caught up into heaven. When you was born again, your spirit, your inter-angelic man was caught up into heaven. Sometimes God just lets me talk like this, just like I'm talking to you here. Sometimes to keep them from coming out with the cameras to catch this on camera. Because of some things, it's just confidential to his people. Jesus just talked this way to them. And a lot of times he lets me do this. So, we are they that are already in heaven. I'm not waiting to go to heaven. I'm not waiting to be caught away into heaven. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, at the change, you know that you're going to be caught away into heaven. No, I'm not planning to be caught away in heaven at the change. It doesn't say that we're caught away into heaven at the change. There's nothing said of the Thessalonian change is to be caught away into heaven. It said we are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Then we're caught up to be with him, simply in the air. Simply in the air. You ever been up in the air? Just simply elevated above the earth to let the people intellectually define the fact that we are now airborne, we're heavenly. That is to say, our earthly body has lost its powers. But that's nothing in that Peter did that by walking on the water. Ezekiel done that by being transported from one mountain, as we say, to another mountain. Elijah did that when he rode away in the chariot, and so did Enoch when he was translated by faith that he should not see death. That is something you do not have to wait for. You don't have to wait to have a change to be able to do that. The sense of the change is that we are changed. We are changed in that as the light penetrated through the face of Moses, as through the face of Stephen's, as through the face of Jesus as he stood in glory, being illuminated with that glory, as it was with Adam's face, if you'd have seen it, or Eve's face, being illuminated with that Shekinah illumination of the overshadowing. See, that is when the change comes, we will experience that. But as Brother Branham's face shined, as other men's faces have shined, the Bible said wisdom maketh the man's face to shine. As to the penetrating, whatever the degree of the wisdom and knowledge within him is, as to making him shine, as to the penetrating inward power coming from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from the inner kingdom being released into the outer man, as to the changing of the genetics. That's all that is. Change. We already, as to the inner man, the angelic man, the only man, in that the flesh is but dust. From the dust it came, as a little tabernacle, as a little garment to cover the true life. And the man, it's called the covering. You cover with a covering as to the image of Lucifer because of the infiltration, and within the flesh there's no good thing. And in that Lucifer is a god, even the god of this world. He hath control of the lying vanities, which takes in your body as the atomic particles of lying vanities that must pass away. So he is the prince of the powers that's in the air. Not only the demon powers that moves within the other world, but as to the atomic particles, brilliance, science, knowledge, falsely so called, as we use this terms a lot of times, they say mind over matter. That is, there's nothing but energy and matter. Matter coming into certain forms, as science defines it, taking on certain forms, even human forms. And they work with it through their medical science and their medical powers of trying to restore and put it back together when it gets a hole in it or begins to rot out or whatever. And if they find enough favor with God, he allows it as to the point of understanding. But really, in all reality, there is but one mind over matter. And that is not the mind of Lucifer, as education and science falsely so called, in that it's nothing but foolishness. The Bible says concerning education of this world that when God was here, that they did not know him, and because they knew him not by the knowledge and wisdom of man, God, it pleased him to save people by the foolishness of preaching. So I said that to say this, there's but one mind over matter, that is the mind of Almighty God, the mind that created matter, the mind that controls matter, the mind that can make it into any form that it wants to at any time, and I have that mind. It's been given to me. I have that mind. Whereas the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God, took upon himself nothing in any special way to project himself, but he became humble as to a servant, abasing the flesh, to overcome the flesh, putting down the flesh, that he might exalt the inner man, saying that though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day, even to the extent of humility of washing the feet, as to symbolize baptism. As he said to Peter, if I wash not thy feet, then you're not clean, or that is to say, as we refer to it as the sole of the feet, if I wash not the soul, then Peter, you're not clean. As to the natural, so as in the spirit, all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things, the allegoric types which do appear even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. That is the finishing of the mysteries of God, is to come to understand all things. And the Bible said ye have an understanding, or that is, you have an unction from the Holy One, that ye should know all things. So he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, even the mind over matter, the mind of God, the mind that created matter. Let this mind be in you, because this is a gift to my son, even my son, you, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is a gift to you, even eternal life. My mind, as to whatever measure of my mind you would like to have. That's why the Bible said, go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, for he that be perfect shall be as his master. Perfection then does not consist of your ability to do as to ritualistics, as to Pentecostal conformities or Catholic formality, but it consists of the mind of Christ, as to whatever degree of that mind that you will have. It is typed out by the educational world, the invisible being understood by the visible from kindergarten on to college. And as to advanced studies, you can have whatever you want of it, for a mind is a spirit. A spirit is a life. And as to whatever mind, part of the mind you have, so is the spirit. So is your power. So is your regime. So is your priesthood. So is your kingly power of rule and authority, whatever. Part of that mind that you have, as to the measure of that mind, so is the life. And so is the heights. As to the degree of heights that you reach. As it is said of Lucifer, some have never known the depths of Satan. As to the deep depths of the darkness of his intellectual defining. And so it is with God. Some have never, as in this world, tied by the wealthy and the poor. Some have never obtained unto the great rich sources and life of the billionaire. The convenience of specialists as doctors to look after every pain, every little problem, every desire, he hath it. Some have never obtained to that. In this world, we're just poor folks. So as in the spirit, so as in the world, as in heaven, so in earth. So some have never obtained unto the great, wonderful heights of the greatness of God. They've never tasted of that. And throughout eternity, they will never do it. There are those that will never do it. Some will never transformate into the great heights of the dimensional greatness of God as to the ultimatum. But they that be perfect shall be as to the ultimate, because as he said to the disciples, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones. When I sit upon my throne, ye shall be kings, judging the tribes of Israel. And as the 24 elders as kings, and as has been said, and without the gates, over the cities, some over 5 cities, some over 10 cities. And these kings of the earth over people, having obtained these great places of rulership. Because as in the world, the knowledge, the educational powers bring wealth and bring control as to supremacy, as to great rich billionaires or dignitaries as rulers or legislative powers. And so it is in the spiritual world. They that are without the gates over these cities shall bring their glory into the beautiful city of New Jerusalem, throwing their crowns down at his throne, recognizing that though they are a king and some great and mighty kings, yet the Bible said he is the Lord of all lords and he is the king of all kings. He is the great headstone, that king crying grace, grace, grace at Calvary, as the prophet prophesy that he would do. And as I teach you, a lot of times when it comes to the angelic sources, the Bible speaks of a great angel coming down from heaven, in that angels are lights. They are lights. When the shepherds was on the hillside, some of you have been there at the place where the angel appeared to the shepherds on the hillside, it was a great light that shone round about them. And as it was with Paul, when the angelic form or being, as we would use in human terminology, Jesus appeared as Christ to Paul, it was a great light, so bright that it blinded him. It blinded him. Our little nerve system, as to intellectual definition to the brain, cannot comprehend this great light. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, because this light is the kingdom of God. It is an understanding. It would destroy, it would disintegrate, it would cause the human form to dissipate. So God has to approach it as the great light through the eradication. He takes out the infiltration, takes it out of the human being, as to that veil of death that comes through the intellectual, that is, to be carnally minded is death. Eradicates death, and once death has gone out of the human form, then life is there. Light, life. The light comes, the life, and your body just simply goes through the transfiguration as your spirit did the translation and as your mind did the transformation. But it all has to be in stride as to the translation of your human or your angelic being, your spirit within your human form. And then as to the transformation of the tutoring as to your mind, as to what degree of light, as to, as in heaven, we're all as the angels, as to see what kind of angel you'll be, as to the brightness of your angelic habitation, as to the great angel that come down, and the Bible says in Revelation that his light lightened the entire earth. That is, that was that that came with a knowledge, a revealed, an understanding, that great wonderfulness of God, that sensitiveness of God, that enlightened the entire earth. And so then, in heaven today, we are as the angels. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's buried. It's beneath the water. It's gone and will not come forth until the change. At the resurrection of the dead comes forth. Whereas the dead that are buried in the watery graves in the name of Jesus, as to the lost and the dispersed, the Jews coming in as those that are dead in their typical form and as those that come out of the ground that's passed on. I just said that to say this, that it is up to you, it is up to me. Some don't want to come to church, they'd rather stay home. Some would rather come to church once a week, some once a month. Some would rather have a little bit of the world over here and no, I'm meant to get to preach and I'm just talking to you. Some's got to have a little bit of this over here, and so they just slip God aside a little bit over here and they slide God away a little bit over here, and they add a little bit of this over here. And the Lord says, you know, according to your faith, as to whatever you want, if that's what you desire. You know, but I try to exhort the people to do this. Let's go on to the full measure. And let's go on to the full reward. He hath a full reward. But the Bible said God hath dealt unto every man the measure of the Spirit according to what he can receive. so hath given unto you the measure, whatever your measure is. You know, some people have one measure of life, some people have another measure of life, some people are robust, and some people are just powerful and strong in their body. They spend all of their time to make sure that they have that natural life to the full and the overflowing. And some are weak, some are contemptible, some can hardly walk, some are feeble, some are sickly, some have diseases. The measure of life is not so with them as it is with the others. And so it is in the heavenly world. As in heaven, so in earth. So my desire is to the full extent of the great ultimatum of God in Christ Jesus. For higher, higher in the school of wisdom, ever let me go. Higher, Jesus fathomed the great depths, deeper, deeper in thy love, deeper in thy love, higher, higher. Paul said, I seek to know him, the fellowship of his suffering, been made conformable unto his death, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. And that's why the Bible said, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer, rather than a mind to be a celebrity, rather than a mind to be attractive, to catch attention, rather than a mind to excel in the world with riches, rather than a mind to find admiration, to have people to say good things about you. And all these things will happen to you when you serve God. God said unto David, I've taken thee from among the sheepcote, given thee a name like unto the great men of the earth, set him on the throne, and so he will do to us. For God hath made us priests and kings unto our God, that we shall rule and reign forever and forever and forever. But at the same time, we're not to follow that. We're not to try to make of ourselves a reputation. We're not to seek after the world to try to have a name. The Bible said, let another man say it of you. Let another man's lips praise you. For he that exalted himself shall be abased, but he that abases himself, the Bible said, God shall exalt him, and that to where he will never fall. For if you do these things, he said, ye shall never fall. So think on it as to the light, as to the covering, where we are. We are born of God. Born of God. Therefore, we do not have a covering of death, because the covering of death is sin. For unbelief is sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. It shall die. So the soul that sinneth, it shall find the veil of the covering of death. The intellectual infiltration, it comes from Lucifer, even the tree of knowledge from the garden. But we are overshadowed, or that is, we are illuminated with the great, wonderful illumination of the light of his wisdom and understanding, which is the covering of life. As to the covering cherubs, as to the covering of life. Our body is a body of light by the foreknowledge of God. And though this tabernacle is buried in the water somewhere, yet our body in his foreknowledge is already seen as a complete thing. From mountaintop to mountaintop he sees us already as his son, for all of his works are known unto him from the beginning, and we are complete in Christ. In his foreknowledge, before we was ever born into the world, he made us complete. There's not one thing that's lacking in our life. I have given unto thee all things that pertain unto life. Happiness, joy, peace, wealth, prosperity. See, he hath given this to us in Christ. It is like the songwriter said, a package of love sent down from heaven, from God up above. It is, as he said, mail order from heaven, the package of love sent down from heaven, from the Father above. All wrapped up in his love. So then, we have a covering. We are God manifest in the flesh. We are love manifest in the flesh. And love is as strong as death. So we have passed from death unto life. We don't have a veil of the intellectual covering of death over our soul. There's nothing. It's like Brother Branham when he was born. numbers of people have been born into the world like this. He had a veil. Understand, he had some kind of veil over him, which no doubt indicates the veil of death. Numbers of people I've heard of them being born with a veil. A veil has to do away with the veil of death, the intellectual reasoning. As a matter of fact, in some of his meetings, I remember something about hearing where he saw the veil over someone's face. As he would look, he would see that dark veil over their face, which means that he saw the intellectual or the infiltration. He saw the veil, as it was a veil over Moses' face, indicating the law of sin and death between the people. God had to allow the intellectual darkness to veil himself within. The Shekinah of Moses was veiled within that to show that when God came in his fullness, that the body of Jesus would be that veil that had to be rent of the flesh that showed the human body of your covering that's not of God. That's the veil of death, even the image of death, the infiltration which is in the flesh. See, which was rent at Calvary to make a more sure way, to give us a more sure way of prophecy, or word of prophecy, or a more sure way into the holies of holies, the veil having been rent in twain, that which was given to us in the foreknowledge of God from the foundation of the world might be brought to light, that is to say, elect according to the foreknowledge. And that it is that way we have the heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels, that is the angelic powers of eternal life within your human being. So, as to the blood of your veins, then you are lost as to the angel that dwells within that temple. But as to the royal blood within my veins, I am saved as to the body of that light and that word of spirit and life which was made flesh, as to the angelic being of Christ on the inside of this temple. So as to the blood covering, we are covered by the blood as it was in Egypt when they applied the blood. So again, I said those things to say these things that we're wanting to express, that if the veil is rent, then the world is passed away. Now the world is gone. Peter said, "Yeah, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, and we are the new people in the new world. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new." That's why Paul could say, "I know of one caught up into the third heaven, one heaven, two heavens, three heavens," and that is why that John could say there was a door open in heaven, even the door that Peter opened when he took the keys. And John at the end of the church ages hearing the voice from within that door in the heavenly places saying, "Come up hither." And of course, John went up into the heavens. And so here we are. And the world is waiting for what they call the ultimatum, which will be a change. But see, the Bible speaks like this. Martha, Mary, the tomb of Lazarus. And the sister said, "I know that he'll live again at the resurrection." Jesus said, he'll live again. She said, "I know that." Said at the resurrection, Jesus said, he could have said, "Little sister, it's already come. It's already come." He'll live again at the resurrection. He said, I'm the resurrection. So seeing that I'm the resurrection, the truth, and the life, we live again. And as we were dead, through Christ, as to the body was dead, but now we're alive forevermore. And we find ourselves right in the midst of the candlesticks, as to the church ages, right here in the sevenfold light that's all around us, as to the understanding of the ultimatum, as to the finishing of the mysteries of God, as to the one foot on the land and the one foot on the sea. That is to say, both in the natural and the spiritual, as to the body unredeemed in the natural, as to the spirit in the heavenly places. And we find ourselves standing there as that great angelic body, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as we from time to time raise our hands to heaven. And as to us, as to the enter, all of the seals loosed, the mysteries finished to our angelic man, an unction from the Holy One to know all things. And then as to the distribution, as to a membership, as to all the world, the gospel to every creature, and the light pours forth through that one that stands on the land and the sea, swearing that time is no more, that Calvary is the fullness of time, that it is gone forever, it is no more. And now we are those that survived, as I had the vision where I was standing over in the great millennium, standing there with the people. And it was so beautiful because all had passed away, and that in the vision we had laid hold on Satan, we'd reached and got him when he reached for us. then we took a hold of him. And when we got a hold of him, like as to a beard thing that seemed to relate to the roots of the earth, indicating that thing as to him saving the things that be of the flesh and being in the world, or as to the rudiments of this world, holding on to him, as the vision showed, he was angry. And he grew bigger and bigger and stretched out longer and longer, but I still held on to him. As to the church, as to the body of Jesus Christ, as to Christ defeating him at Calvary, and then as he went farther up into the heavens, and then he began to spin like a top. Angry, the vision showed he was so fierce. Going about, the Bible said, in the last days, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Going so fierce, all of the troubles of today, the beginning of sorrows, heartache, sickness, whatever. He was so fierce that he went round and around, and he got up to such speed it was like a propeller on an airplane. And he stretched out all over the entire world, but I still didn't turn him loose. And he was raging and snatching and pulling, but he couldn't get loose. And finally he turned into a blaze of fire. He was moving so fast, and began to melt down as fire and brimstone from heaven all over the world. And I heard the Lord begin to speak. It was the end of the world. It was the end of the world. And we had shelter from it. And as the whole world was consumed and passed away, it didn't affect us. And there we stood over in the millennium. I looked and I told the people, I said, it's so wonderful. It's all over now. You never have to die anymore. It's all over. It's finished now. And you made it into this wonderful world. You can do what you want to eternally. Never, no more problems. That's the way I feel. I'm glad to be here. Hallelujah. So we're not waiting for the Thessalonian chains to find the resurrection. He came, and when he came, I passed from death unto life. The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. So finding this wonderful peace, entering into his rest, finding this wonderful consolation, knowing that the church has been sealed in and that she's been translated, she now dwells in heaven. The end of the days of the Gentiles is here. They're finished and gone. Mr. Reagan had to do with the end of it. I told you that. When he went in, when they gave him one candle, and he said, I feel like the world's going out and I'm coming in. And Mr. Bush has to do with the Jews. As we spoke of, the burning bush that burned and was not consumed, it will bring the Jews into the picture. And Mr. Jackson has to do with the darkness, the gross darkness that shall cover the people, as to the intellectual world that will bring death and sorrow and mourning. And both of these men are in the preeminence right now. To bring this with the church going out, it means that the light has gone out and gross darkness shall cover the earth. And that means that everything is at an end. The mysteries of God have been finished. And as it is said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And he shall rule forever and ever. The Thessalonian chains is waiting. It's right at hand. You've got to remember that it's right at hand. It does not come after the tribulation period. It comes before the tribulation period. And the tribulation period is 7 years. And I talked to you the other day about the seventh millennium. And I told you, I said, the seventh millennium is now coming up. It's on tape somewhere where we preach it. The seventh millennium. A millennium is 1,000 years. The Bible does not speak of a millennium. It speaks of 1,000 years. It does not speak of the rapture. It speaks of the chains. And men use intellectual applications that sometimes cause it to be besetting to the church. So we preach it the way the Bible teaches it. That way it's not confusing. So the millennium, that word M, that letter M from the word millennium means 1,000. And you're now coming into the 7,000th year, which indicates the day of his rest. 6 days he worked, on the seventh he rested. A day is 1,000 years with God, 1,000 years is a day. You're now entering into it. And as I said in the teachings on the tape, that Satan has sought through the years to offset the calendar, changing the times and the seasons, as Daniel said he would do, or the angel. Changing the times and the seasons, and that Julius Caesar changed it. They come in with the leap year and all these other kind of things as a solar calendar. There's so many different calendars. We brought it out on tape somewhere of the different calendars as to what they mean in the different dates, the different times, the different seasons. And then, of course, the scholars have things misconstrued. They cannot really pin down the day as to the time of the coming of the Lord, as to say the B.C. being 1 B.C. or being 3 B.C. or whatever, and they've got it all set about 3 years as to his coming. And we brought it out as to what it would be according to what we understand. And as to Daniel and Messiah coming, making an end of sin, as to the blood coming off of the seat of atonement. And so then, that means that there could be a number of years difference as to these things. A number of years. And if we are now in 88, and if we are already down here near the seventh millennium, then that means that something is about to happen. We're about to end the sixth millennium. We're almost at the end of it. 88, 89, 90, 91, right on over, and then the end of the sixth millennium. And the seventh millennium is the day of his rest. So that means that it's coming. We are children of light. We know when the day is nigh, even at the door. That's why I'm telling you it's even at the door. The beginning of sorrows have set in, much sorrow in every way upon peoples and mothers and children and whatever. Much sorrow from sickness, children leaving home and whatever. The hour of temptation is coming upon us. And the Bible said, because you've kept the patience of my word, I will keep you from that hour of temptation that is to come upon the whole world to try the world. In that everything is going to be shaken that can be shaken. Nothing will be left except those that have Christ on the inside, that have such staunch faith that nothing can penetrate. So, in trying to find a closure just for our thoughts, that means that as to the seventh millennium approaching, if it's all set as to a number of days, then you don't know how far away it is. You don't know how close it is. And as to the coming of the Lord, remember, you've got to remember this. Someone would say, well, it's 88. There's still quite a number of years, Brother Pike. But like I said on the tape, you consider the fact that this is 88. What if there is a mistake of 3 years? The mistake shows it's to be moved up. That would add 3 more years. And as to the offsets, as to the leap years and the different things, if you went back and figured it, and you went back and figured the time that is lost, going back as to the days of Hezekiah, and going back as to the time when the sun moved back as to certain degrees, and the different things that took place, as to Joshua making the sun, the moon to stand still for a whole day, putting it all together, and going back and looking at the fact that after you come with all these things and move up on the calendar, that there are still 7 years that has to be put between you and the ending of the sixth millennium. That you have to make allowance for 7 years before the coming of the seventh millennium. You've got to make an allowance for 7 years because it's before that time that the church is translated and go out. And I know a lot of people, you know, premillennialists, postmillennialists, they have a dispute as to whether the church will be translated or whether it will stay here and go through tribulation. I think you understand when we preach the message and differentiate it between the church that goes through the wilderness and the church that's translated. I think you understand that real thorough. It's on tape real clear. And another thing is, I think that you understand that the church goes out before the tribulation, that is before the coming millennium. It goes out before the tribulation, and that in the midst of the week of Daniel's last week, as to the 70 weeks being completed, the covenant is broken. We spoke of Messiah coming, making an end of sin, and then we spoke of the 69 weeks under Calvary, and the Jews went out of their homeland, and the Gentiles came in. And God has not counted that last week because the angel said, Daniel, this is determined upon thy people, even the Jews. So then that means there's 1 7 years as to a week of Daniel, and there were 70 weeks and likened unto a year according to Isaiah's teachings. So that means that there are 7 years, and that 7 years has to be between the seventh millennium and the ending of the sixth millennium. So in that is true, that means that the church will go out. Someone would say, well, what makes you think it will go out? The Bible says, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. The only way I know that you could do that is to get out of here, because they're definitely coming. The Jews is sealed so that it won't affect them. And we got to get out of here. So that's the church. That's why in the fourth chapter of the book of John, the door is open. Before the tribulation, John representing the church, he goes up. And you don't even see John anymore until after the tribulation period. That is to say, as to the coming of the church. So, I said all that again to say this. The end of the world is here. The end of the days of the Gentiles is here. The darkness is gaining momentum. That's why it is as it is in the race, as we say, right now with the political parties. That is why it's going like that. The darkness is now gaining momentum so that it can take its rule and its seat at the proper time. So this means that the end of the world is here, and things is just set now for the devastating blow of Lucifer. In that we didn't turn him loose. The fierceness was that the spending as to a propeller, it indicates the jets as the spending of the propeller within the jet tube. It is the jets. It indicates the missiles. It indicates the blowing up as to the Star Wars. And I brought it out as to the shrapnel, blood, voices and thunders and lightnings. I brought it out as to you as to what it indicates. It indicates the mystery's been finished. That is to say, what profit is it that the church hear these words? It is by words that comes mind. By mind comes faith. By faith, that is believing. By believing comes translation. Now you might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't believe that, you go to the doctor, you're a good, strong, healthy fellow. You go to visit the physician. You're good and healthy and strong, and you're just as happy as you can be. And you talk to him, and he examines you, and he looks at you, and he says to you, I hate to tell you this, but you've got 10 days to live. Cancer. Automatically, his words has programmed your mind. You got a new believing. You got a new believing, and that believing is a fear unto death, and that fear is faith in reverse, and the strength of Lucifer. So it is, you go to God, and God says, son, you pass from death unto life, and you shall never come into condemnation. Hallelujah. You keep yourself, and the evil one toucheth you not. And on and on and on, as someone saying, 32,000 promises in the book of life. God promising us, giving us all things that pertain unto godliness or life. We have all this in the package, even the Lord Jesus. That is that bundle of love. And it's an eternal thing, all things that pertain unto life. But by faith, we can enjoy them here in this human body as to whatever degree of faith that we can believe as to that package of love and still have a benefit here as to whatever degree that we can believe. All right, let's stand together. If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Let's give him a hand, okay? So then we're not waiting for the coming of the Lord. He came. I prepared a place. He took me to it. And today, the Bible said, I am hid with Christ in God. That's where he was. That's where he was preparing the place. Now I am with him. He came back at Pentecost, entered into the heart of the church. And today, I've been translated. My inter-angelic being was taken with him. For if I prepare a place, I'll come to receive you in a moment. That where I am, there you might be also. So I am there with him also. I'm here with Christ and God, whom the heavens have received. until the restitution, that is to say, this old body, as to your natural body, isn't going to be changed until the millennium approaches. The millennium approaches, and with the natural change of your natural environment comes the change of your body. With the change, as to Adam tilted on his axis, came the briars, came the problems. As to the uprightness of your mind, the full understanding of God, to the erection before Christ, as to being upright, will come the uprightness of the physical being. There'll be no more sickness. Following that will come the uprightness of the natural world. As to the millennium, there will be no more briars. There'll be no more curse. It will be gone. So the travail will be over as to the woman, in that the Bible teaches in the millennium there'll be no such thing as sorrow, and nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. It's only there because of the curse, and they that believe can escape it, in that everyone that hangeth upon a tree is made a curse, and he hang upon a tree that he might be made a curse for us. A lot of things that we could say as to the revelation of the Lord Jesus concerning these things, as to the revealing, as to Godship, as to sonship, as to kingship, as to priestly beings. And for those that can believe, as I preached the other night, never in the negative, always in the positive. The negative is the mind of man, as to Lucifer, the infiltration, the rejected. The positive mind is the mind of light, even the mind of Christ, even the power of life that rules supremely over death and all the enemies of life. So you can see what a great calling you have in God. Paul said, I count all things of my past, all of his abilities, his talents, his association, even with the great dignitaries of that day. I count all of my learning as dung. Said, I found a knowledge, and this knowledge is so supreme, it is so great. He said that all of the knowledge that I have known, so great and mighty it is, but it is nothing but waste. It is nothing compared to this great, wonderful, enlightening, translating power. He said, I give my life to it. Not even so much as to have a wife, he said. Not even so much as to seek a home, but to give myself just to this knowledge. For as to the degree of this knowledge is the heights, as to your supremacy and your priesthood that you reach. Doesn't mean that you can be any holier by not having a wife. Paul just said he didn't want the cares of life. He just took up too much of his time, that he could think more and pray more and meditate more and find more revelation by seeking God. You couldn't be any better. Faithful Abraham, our father, who is the chief of all faith and faithfulness, he had a wife. So don't misunderstand. Let's sing a little chorus together, can you?
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul.
Can you sing it with me?
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore.
Sing it again.
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more.
wide, stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing this little chorus with me? The altars are open. If you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. After all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can. You sing it with me. For after all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith, then I will make it. Sing it with me. For after all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Can you sing that with me? You ought to be getting taller and taller. For after all this life is over, getting taller, taller, and taller, should be able to see over into the city by now. The mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. You know, there's some people here that believe this. I can tell a hand from a woman that went up over there that she's beginning to believe this, and a hand from a man that went up over there that they're actually beginning to believe that they are seeing into the city. And I can hear their spirits as if to say, oh my God, it's happened. Oh my God, I'm so happy. Broke up, tears on the inside, saying, I see over into that city. It's real. It's real. It's happened at last. You know, the Bible said concerning the prophet, said, go among them and mark them that sigh. The Bible said Jesus standing at the tomb of Lazarus as to the resurrection and the life as to the overcoming, said he sighed in his spirit. He sighed in his spirit. Have you ever sighed in your spirit? That's when the great loving Holy Spirit touches you and you're just broken all to pieces on the inside. Not a tear a lot of times, and yet maybe your eyes will wet with tears. You're sighing on the inside. You're broken up on the inside. And the Spirit of God is down deep inside of your spirit. And you can just know that he's in there, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can you sing that with me again? After all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord, said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Sing it one more time with me. For after all, life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord saved. Preparing gives me faith that I can make it path. Just more time. All right, after all this life is over and my burdens have all been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain, oh, so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord says preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing that one more time? For after all, and to stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. You know, I know that I'm standing over in that place. I saw myself standing there. And I know that some of you are standing over there with me. I don't know who it was. I never recognized anybody. But I saw people. And I know that some of them were my people. They were standing over in that place. They had made it in. And I know that some of you have passed from death unto life and that you've made it in. I know that you've made it in. I know that you've made it in. In talking with you from time to time, I know that you've made it in. Numbers of others of you that are listening to me preach, I know that you haven't made it in. But I do know that you are believers. And I know that you may have to encounter the things that's coming on the earth. The Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. I know that many hundreds and millions of people will encounter the things that's coming on the earth. They'll go through those things. They'll go through the tribulation period. I know that. They're believers. But some of you will never go through the tribulation period. You'll never do. You love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus together. I like this song. I see these pretty little girls standing here, so pretty they are. And I see them standing here, and Jesus said on one occasion, unless you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. That is, unless you can become as innocent. Innocent. These little ones, Jesus said, and their spirit, their angel, he said, doth always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven, which means these little ones, their angelic being has never yet come to the age of accountability, which means that if their little angelic being departed the little tabernacle, it will automatically go to God. You that have been born again, you are as innocent, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, and your angel doth always behold the face of the heavenly Father. Change, the Bible said, as from glory to glory, and beholding his face as that of one that seeth himself in a mirror. You're changed into the very image, just from glory to glory inside. As to that release of that potentiality into your blood genetics, you're changed into the glorious image of that Thessalonian change, as it was with Enoch, who was translated by faith that he went away and should not see death. So then we see the innocency here. I see the innocency of those that tabernacle. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, that inner man is he tabernacled, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man's renewed day by day. Seeking after the inner man, following after the inner man, following after heavenly things, conversation in heaven. All things is to unto the Father, and trying to meditate in his laws day and night. I see the innocency of those that have went on into heaven. They've translated and they went on into heaven, and they're in heaven today. They're standing today in heaven. They're sitting in the heavenly places during their lifetime. And they went on into that heavenly world. They made it over. They made it over. And nothing can separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So great was it that he spilt his own blood at Calvary. While we were yet in our sin, so great was his love. Now that we're trying to serve him, nothing can separate us. He sealed our spirit by his angelic being, the Spirit of Christ, which is called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And your spirit is now interwoven as to a oneness with him. You put the safeguard in the garment, and the stains can't come anymore. So he has put the safeguard within our spirit. We're interwoven in a oneness with him, and now Satan can never touch us. Never touch us. There'll never be a spot. There'll never be a blemish. There will never be anything that can separate you from the love of God. You cannot sin because you are born of God. You are that heavenly creature within a heavenly world. All right, let's sing this chorus, Brother Taylor. Oh, tell me his name once again. Sing it with me. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. So tell me his name again. Can you sing it with me? So tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It vanishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name again. I want you to bow your heads with me and lift your hands up. Remember the sweet name of Jesus. The sweet name of Jesus. I always remember the little story of the missionary that had traveled so far to hear. Or that is, the man traveled so far to hear the missionary, and then after hearing it, forgot the name. On his way back home, had traveled many miles. And then he turned again and went back all those many miles just to say, tell me his name again. And then they wrote the song, tell me his name again. Sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It brings me cheer. Tell me that name again. Tell me that name again. It banishes all of my fears. It brings me hope and cheer. Tell me that name once again. I love you this morning, and God loves you. And we so ought to love one another. If He loved us enough to go to Calvary and die for us, then we ought to love one another in such a way that we would be willing to give our lives for one another. And this is why the Bible teaches that we should give our lives a living sacrifice, not with a reservation of heart as to our own things in life, but to give our lives a living sacrifice. Our body is a living sacrifice, holy, completely, righteously unto God, which is but a reasonable service, in that He hath given us so much and done so much. May God bless your hearts this morning. May He bless you with all of the wonderful, rich, heavenly blessings. May He bless you richly with those wonderful blessings. I'm going to ask Brother Ray to come up and dismiss us. If you will, Ray, come up and pray. While Ray's coming, Ray again always reminds me of the man child. He follows that pattern coming from Elberton. And I'm always glad to have Ray come and be with us. It is when the man child was caught up to the throne that he ruled with a rod of iron. It is when your eyes come open and you begin to see these heavenly things, it is then that you are at the throne. It is then that you begin to rule with a rod of iron. You become so confident, not of your own righteousness, but of His and of His blessings. You that have tried to follow the message faithfully, that have tried to stay with it, that has tried your very best to believe and understand when many times you couldn't understand, but you kept trying. Some of you are beginning to understand now. And you're beginning to know, even as I know, that He is the right thing, that He is the right way, that it's not of Brother Pike, that this is from heaven. Like the vision I had the other day when I saw these ladies, they kept talking, and they were talking about God speaking to them, and they were saying, God speaks to me just like He does you, kind of like Aaron did to Moses. You know, God speaks to us too. I said, ladies, I said, you don't understand. I said, you're talking about thoughts coming to your mind. I said, but God hasn't spoken to me like that. I said, He spoke straight from heaven. I said, I heard the angel speak directly to me, and He spoke straight from heaven these words. And then I warned him of the disaster that was about to fall. So as Ray comes to pray with you, remember, you are the sheep of His pastor. This is not a rumor that you've heard as to a rustling in the mulberry tree as it was with David of old. But the Bible says you are my sheep and you know my voice. You know my voice. You wouldn't be here if you didn't know the voice of God. And a stranger, as to a stranger, and the prophet said to David of old, a stranger came by David and misled you. A stranger, even Lucifer, demon spirits, or to the voice of one that works through a human being, a stranger you will not follow. You will not follow him.